Welcome to Derm Surgery Digest at the Microscope, where we explore the latest literature in dermatopathology, which advances laboratory techniques and diagnostic approaches. Enjoy this bonus content of Derm Surgery Digest, the official podcast of dermatologic surgery.
Hello, I'm Ashley Elsenson from Loma Linda University, and welcome back to Derm Surgery Digest at the Microscope, April edition. This edition, we're going to be talking about squamoid eccrine ductal carcinomas. And I think these are actually very important entities for most surgeons to be aware of, as we may sometimes inadvertently be the person who will be diagnosing these. So initially on biopsies for squamoid eccrine ductal carcinomas, the superficial portion will look like a well-differentiated squamous cell carcinoma. And as you get deeper into the specimen or into the lesion, you start to see the ductal differentiation. And only then do you realize that this is squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma. So I had a patient a couple weeks ago who had, quote, infiltrative squamous cell carcinoma in the medial canthus. I started Mohs surgery. And then again, as I read the Mohs slides, I realized, oh, this has ductal differentiation. This is a squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma. It was very extensive and I couldn't clear the margins as it was going into the orbit. And so I had to stop the case and seek multidisciplinary care and help for this patient. But again, this can be a very problematic tumor. It happens in elderly patients. It has a high local recurrence rate and possibility of metastatic spread. And again, it can be misdiagnosed as a squamous cell carcinoma through no fault of the dermatopathologist or the clinician. It's just the biphasic nature of these tumors. Again, with the squamous cell carcinoma differentiation on top, the eccrine ductal differentiation more so deeper. So without further ado, let's go through the articles. And you'll notice this episode and the episodes ongoing, we have a new set of contributors who have specific interest and expertise in dermatopathology. And so I hope you enjoy their thorough reviews. The first article, we're going to look at the anatomical clinical study of 30 cases from the GAADV in 2015, where there were essentially 20 French pathologists who tried to look at various sclerosing sweat duct carcinomas. So this included entities like MAX, syringomatous carcinomas, and squamoid eccrine ductal carcinomas. The next article, we're going to review more clinical pathologic information about the squamoid eccrine ductal carcinomas. We're then going to look at treatment and outcomes from American Journal of Dermatopathology. And then finally, we're going to end with the whole exome sequencing case of squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma. And I won't spoil the surprise, but a lot of people have always wondered, are these eccrine carcinomas that have squamoid differentiation? Are these squamous cell carcinomas with eccrine differentiation? Are these follicular tumors with eccrine differentiation, et cetera, et cetera? And so this sheds a little bit of light onto that. And without further ado, let's get to our four articles. Enjoy.
Hello, this is Marina Ibrahim reviewing anatomoclinical study of 30 cases of sclerosing sweat duct carcinomas, including microcystic adnexal carcinoma or MAC, syringomatous carcinoma or SC, and squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma, or SEDC, by Frohn et al. In 2015. These sweat duct carcinomas are rare and have generated much discussion pertaining to their histogenesis over the years. Some have lumped MAC and SC under the umbrella term of sclerosing sweat duct carcinoma. More recently, SEDC was identified as another type of ductal carcinoma that could be mistaken for squamous cell carcinoma, but may also be related to MAC. In light of these findings, the authors aim to review 30 cases of MAC, SC, and SCDC and capture their histogenesis. As part of the study, 20 members of the DermPath group of the French Society of Dermatology pulled all cases of MAC, SC, and SCDC from their collection between 1995 and 2008. Each member reviewed all cases. All tumors displayed deeply invasive basaloid strands with eccrine ductal differentiation. MACs were deemed to have keratinizing cysts, SCs were deemed to have strands without cysts, and SCDCs were deemed to have squamous differentiation. Immunohistochemical analysis was also performed to assess keratin and PHLDA1 expression. Pertinent clinical data was also collected, including the history of the malignancy, location, treatment, recurrence, etc. In total, 104 tumors were reviewed and 30 cases met criteria. Of the 30, 18 were MAC, 5 were SC, and 7 were SCDC. 25 of the 30 cases occurred in females compared to males. On average, patients with MAC or SC were younger than those with SCDC. Most tumors reportedly occurred on the face. In particular, SC and SCDC have a predilection for the cheek, compared to MAC, which commonly affects the periocular skin. All patients were treated surgically. Patients with MAC or SCDC required 1 to 5 surgical procedures in order to obtain clear margins. Notably, one patient with SCDC required large excision, enucleation, nose amputation, and radiation therapy. Patients with SC, in contrast, required 1 to 3 procedures. Recurrence was observed in one patient with SCDC after 32 months, but recurrence was not observed for any case of MAC or SC. Microscopically, all cases of MAC contained small cysts or strands, invaded deeply, and strongly expressed cytokeratins in cysts and strands. K77 was only expressed in 2 cases within ductal components. Cases of SC were comprised of strands without cysts, apocrine differentiation, or follicular/epidermal connection. Some tumors extended down to fat or demonstrated perineural invasion. K5 and K14 were diffusely expressed. K77 was expressed in ducts. Tumors of SCDC were comprised of nests and strands and cysts. Ducts were found both superficially and deeply and lacked apocrine differentiation. Nearly all tumors lacked an epidermal connection and invaded deeply. K14 was diffusely positive. Nests variably expressed K6 and 16 depending on depth. K77 was always positive in ducts. In light of these findings, there are several take-home points. Firstly, while MAC and SC have been used interchangeably over the years, they are clinically and histologically distinct entities. The presence of cysts can help identify MAC, though, depending on how the sample is sectioned, these cystic structures may be missed. The presence of ducts would point more toward a diagnosis of SC. This finding, combined with the IHC pattern found by the authors, would support the notion that SC is eccrine in derivation. In contrast, MAC is likely follicular in origin. Secondly, K77 stains eccrine structures, which appear to be more commonly found in SC and SEDC. Rarely are they found in MAC. Lastly, unlike MAC and SC, SCDC typically presents on the head and neck of older male patients. There may be a relationship between organ transplant and development of this tumor, but given how rarely this tumor has been described, and there are only 7 cases in this particular study, more data may be needed to elucidate this relationship. Regardless, unlike MAC and SC, SEDC carries a worse prognosis and is associated with recurrence. The tumor also invades deeply. As the name would suggest, SEDC exhibits both squamous and eccrine differentiation, but it is primarily eccrine in origin. Given its immunostaining and clinical behavior, it is a distinct entity compared to MAC and SC. Thank you.
Hi all, my name is Jeff Gardner, and I will be reviewing squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma, a clinical pathologic study of 30 cases by Vanderhorst et al. Adnexal carcinomas are categorized either as high-grade, which have features of metastasis or disease-related mortality, or either low-grade, which are locally destructive or recur. Squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma is traditionally thought of as having low-grade malignant potential with rare recurrences. However, more recently there have been reports of metastasis and prior to this article, no disease-related mortality. Thus, this study aimed to characterize clinical and histologic features with emphasis on outcome. 30 specimens of squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma were obtained from 2 institutions in the UK, NHS Lothian University Hospitals Trust and St. John's Institute of Dermatology. The H&E slides were reviewed along with immunohistochemistry staining for CEA, or carcinoembryonic antigen, and EMA, epithelial membrane antigen, to confirm duct differentiation. The results are as follows. The median age was 79.5, with the exception of 1 10-year-old patient. It was predominantly males, as the male-to-female ratio was 1.5 to 1. The majority of tumors presented as a nodule or plaque on the head and neck, especially on the face. This was then followed by the extremities, then the trunk. Histopathologically, this has a biphasic appearance. The superficial aspect resembled and is indistinguishable from a well-differentiated squamous cell carcinoma. 90% had epidermal connection with a background of SCCIS seen in 3 cases or actinic keratosis seen in 26 cases. About half or 47% were ulcerated. Deeper, however, had an infiltrative growth pattern with 70% invading into subcutaneous tissues. All had ductal differentiation present in varying degrees with cytologic atypia and increased mitosis. 7 cases had tumor necrosis, 8 cases had perineural infiltration, and 2 had lymphovascular invasion. All 19 tumors that were stained showed duct differentiation by IHC staining for EMA and CEA. Follow-up information was available in 80% of cases, as 5 cases were too recent and had no follow-up data, and no follow-up data was available on 1 case. The median time for follow-up was 29 months. The treatment for all patients was wide local excision. The outcomes were as follows. 25% had local recurrence with a median time of about 14 months. 13% had regional lymph node metastasis. 4% or 1 patient died of metastatic disease about 32 months after diagnosis. And 13% died of unrelated or unknown causes. This paper shows that in contrast to the previous view that squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma is of low-grade malignant potential, it actually has the potential for more aggressive course. This specifically is in regards to the outcomes mentioned earlier, 25% recurrence, 13% metastasis, and 4% disease-related death. The high recurrence is thought to be due to infiltrative growth pattern and presence of perineural invasion. The author's recommendations for treatment include wide local excision, or MOES, with clinical monitoring and close follow-up. There are no recommendations at this time for sentinel lymph node biopsy. However, authors recommend it should be considered and discussed. Due to the implications for clinical course and treatment, the authors emphasize that the right diagnosis should be made as there are close mimickers. If it was just a superficial shave, it may be mistaken for squamous cell carcinoma, although the treatment and follow-up would not vary significantly. Other entities that are on the differential include eccrine porocarcinoma with squamous differentiation, MAC, macrocystic adnexal carcinoma, or syringoid eccrine carcinoma, and finally, primary cutaneous mucoepidermoid carcinoma. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Michael Lee, and I will be reviewing the article Squamoid Eccrine Ductal Carcinoma, Treatment and Outcomes by Lim et al. Squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma is a very rare variant of an eccrine carcinoma and represents a diagnostic challenge not only clinically, but also histologically, as there is significant overlap of features with other entities. Due to the few number of reported cases, there is limited information on best practices and outcomes when managing this tumor. The authors of this review identified 50 cases of squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma in the literature and compiled characteristic data and treatments for the tumor. The average age of presentation was 76 years old, with male to female predominance of 1.6 to 1. The most common site for this cohort was head and neck area at 60% of cases, followed by extremities at 22% and trunk at 10% of cases. Most common initial practice was wide local excision, which was utilized in 43 out of the 50 identified cases, or about 86%. Mohs surgery was used in 6% of cases, and amputation was done for 4% of the cohort. The remaining 2 cases did not specify treatment. Of the 43 cases treated with wide local excision, there was residual or local recurrence identified in 11 cases, or about 26%. 3 of the 11 recurrent cases went on to having treatment with Mohs, bringing the total to 6 out of 50 cases treated with Mohs, where there were no reported recurrences after completing treatment with Mohs surgery. 14% of this overall cohort did develop lymph node metastasis, and widespread metastasis was observed in 5% of the entire cohort. From the compiled cohort data, there are currently variations in practice patterns for squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma given the scarcity of reported cases, demonstrating there is a lack of guidelines for surgical margins, staging, radiation, or even follow-up. The paucity of data may partly be due to the diagnostic difficulty in identifying squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma. It is unclear whether this entity arises from eccrine ducts or represents a subtype of squamous cell carcinoma, as superficially there can be a well-differentiated squamous cell carcinoma with keratin pearls. But on examination of the deeper component, it will show infiltrative strands of eccrine ductal differentiation within a desmoplastic stroma. Perineural invasion is also common. Based on the histology, squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma is likely underdiagnosed, as shave biopsies often sample only the superficial component for histologic examination. Mimickers of this tumor also contribute to its diagnostic challenge. The differential includes microcystic adnexal carcinoma, or MACs, eccrine syringoid carcinoma, and squamous cell carcinoma. To help differentiate the entities, MACs can also exhibit ductal strands with perineural invasion, but also has follicular differentiation and keratin cysts. Eccrine syringoid carcinoma will lack superficial squamous atypia and will also demonstrate variable dermal mucin. And finally, squamous cell carcinoma will not have any deep ductal differentiation. Immunohistochemistry can also be helpful in differentiating squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma. Generally, S100 epithelial membrane antigen and carcinoembryonic antigen, along with cytokeratin stains, will be positive. P53 and CK5 and 6 are also helpful in delineating this tumor from metastatic adenocarcinoma. The cohort in this review showed a high rate of local recurrence, with several cases having multiple recurrences. Patients that underwent comprehensive margin assessment with Mohs did not experience recurrence, which suggests its vital role in the treatment of squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma. In conclusion, due to its aggressive nature, there needs to be more awareness of this under-recognized tumor. In addition, further studies are needed to not only evaluate different surgical margins, but also the role of excisional techniques such as Mohs surgery in the treatment of squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma in order to reduce practice variations and care.
Hi everyone, my name is Christine Ahn and I'm going to be reviewing an article published in July of 2023 in the American Journal of Dermatopathology called Whole Exome Sequencing of a Case of Squamoid Eccrine Ductal Carcinoma Reveals Similarities with Cutaneous Squamous Cell Carcinoma by Dr. Farhan Hafiz et al. This article highlights squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma, which is an interesting entity. It's thought to be an under-recognized sweat gland malignancy that has a risk for local recurrence and potential metastasis. It's characterized by its histologic features. Superficially, it is indistinguishable from a well-differentiated cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma, while the deeper components demonstrate an infiltrative growth pattern with ductal differentiation. They can demonstrate perineural invasion and, less frequently, lymphovascular invasion. Clinically, they present as nodules or plaques on the head and neck region of elderly adults. Squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma represents an interesting conundrum because the initial biopsy, which likely only captures the superficial component, will lead to a diagnosis of cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma. It's not until re-excision of the tumor, facilitating evaluation of the tumor in its entirety, with the deeper component of ductal differentiation being revealed. This is the most likely clinical context in which we see squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma, and it's indeed the clinical scenario described in this case report. During Mohs surgery of an invasive carcinoma, NOS, or not otherwise specified, the authors encountered squamous and ductal differentiation, still consistent with a primary cutaneous tumor due to the presence of a connection of the tumor to the epidermis. The authors saw prominent cytologic atypia, mitotic activity, and perineural invasion of nerves greater than 0.1 millimeters in diameter. Interestingly enough, the authors performed whole exome sequencing of the tumor that they encountered. This revealed high tumor mutational burden, including mutations in TP53, NOTCH1, NTRK3, SMARCB1, ARID2, and FAT1. 71% of the pathogenic or likely pathogenic mutations were compatible with UV signature mutations, and the genomic aberrations were overall similar to those reported in cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma, notably NOTCH1 and TP53. This poses questions about the etiology of squamoid eccrine ductal carcinomas. we know that cutaneous squamous cell carcinomas can show differentiation towards other lineages with sebaceous differentiation as well as ductal differentiation. And we also can have adnexal carcinomas with squamous differentiation. So it comes down to whether you're a lumper or a splitter. In this era of precision medicine, with advances in whole exome sequencing, we hope that we can elucidate the distinction between these entities, as there is evidence to support more aggressive clinical behavior with squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma. But unfortunately, the results of this case report with sequencing of just a single tumor don't really help make the distinction much clearer. It does, however, show that the mutational profile of squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma aligns more with cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma than those of adnexal malignancies such as microcystic adnexal carcinoma and porocarcinoma. However, histology, clinical pathologic correlation, and awareness of this entity are really still the key to making this diagnosis and being able to treat patients appropriately for this more aggressive neoplasm. The takeaway message here was that genetic analyses of more cases of squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma is indicated. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, reviewers and contributors, for your great review of squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma. This is a really challenging topic for both pathologists and most surgeons, dermatologic surgeons alike, as these squamoid eccrine ductal carcinomas have very tricky biphasic differentiation, where again, the main take-home point is just remember a well-differentiated squamous cell carcinoma appearance will be on top, and then the ductal differentiation at the bottom. They have a high chance of local recurrence of metastatic spread, so we need to have a high index of suspicion, as oftentimes on initial biopsy, these may not be identified. And then the other interesting take-home point for this is the case of squamoid eccrine ductal carcinoma that had similarities with cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma when whole exome sequencing was done. And so the question is, you know, are these squamous cell carcinomas with additional mutations, and what are the ramifications as far as treatment with PD-1 inhibitors, treatment surgically, screening, staging, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think there's a lot more work to be done for these tumors, but very interesting thoughts that come from that final article. So again, a lot to think about regarding squamoid eccrine ductal carcinomas, and we will see you next time at Durham Surgery Digest at the microscope. This is Ashley Elsenson from Loma Linda University signing off. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to At the Microscope, bonus content for Derm Surgery Digest, the official podcast of the Dermatologic Surgery Journal. To access the content reviewed, please reference the podcast description of your selected listening platform. We welcome all feedback. Please email any comments or suggestions to communicationsstaff@asds.net. To learn more about the American Society for Dermatologic Surgery, visit asds.net.